It really hits me sometimes, how much the financial world today feels kind of less like, I don't know, steady investing and way more like you're suddenly at a poker table with crazy high stakes where the rules feel like they could just change whenever.
Yeah, I see what you mean. That traditional slow and steady approach definitely been shaken up by all these new ways to play with way faster action and, yeah, a lot more risk involved. And that's exactly what we're going to unpack today. We're diving deep into what you, Ed, have called the bro economy. You know, the whole world of day trading, sports betting that's just a tap away now, and all the craziness that comes with crypto. There's this like energy around it, a feeling that big wins are right around the corner, right on the money. And thinking about it through that poker lens as a bluff economy, it really makes things clearer, you know? You start to see the real motivations and mechanics of how it all works.
Totally. And for this deep dive, we're going straight to the source you're writing, Ed.
You've spent so much time in these environments where risk is everything, and you bring that perspective to how you analyze these trends. It's like having a seasoned poker pro watching a whole different kind of game unfold. That's the idea. I'm aiming to get past all the hype and the noise and figure out what's really driving this whole thing, and maybe even more importantly, to understand the mindset of the people who are all in. By using this poker analogy, we can break down the psychology, the strategies that are winning for both the people in the thick of it and for anyone who's just trying to wrap their heads around what's going on. All right, so let's jump into the nitty-gritty of this bro economy. You've laid out three main pillars, and the first one is day trading. You've made this great comparison of Wall Street bets, saying it's the Wall Street equivalent of a late-night high-stakes poker game where everyone's had a few too many. What makes that such a perfect analogy? It's a few things, really.
First, you've got this element of coordination, this attempt to kind of figure out what a huge group of people, most of whom you don't even know, are going to do next. Then there's the massive financial risk involved. You could win big, but you could also lose your shirt in a blink. And like any poker game, there's a whole lot of bluffing going on, trying to make it seem like you've got all the momentum, even if you're holding a pair of deuces. Think about that GameStop situation. It wasn't just individual investors making decisions based on, like, company fundamentals. There was this whole groupthink thing happening, a shared story that fueled the frenzy, just like a group of players at a poker table might hype each other up.
Yeah, it definitely felt like a totally different game, almost like traditional market analysis went out the window. Besides just the thrill of the gamble, did you see anything else driving those kinds of moves? Well, sure, there was that anti-establishment sentiment swirling around for sure. But I think at its core, it was about tapping into that very human desire for a quick score, that adrenaline rush of watching a risky bet pay off big.
You know, the typical rules of long-term value-based investing, they took a backseat to this need for instant gratification, the possibility of making huge gains in a flash. But anyone who's spent any time at a real poker table knows that those kind of chaotic emotional games, they rarely end well for everyone. The house, or in this case, the players with deeper pockets and more information, they tend to come out on top in the end. Got it. Okay, moving on to the second pillar, you talk about sports betting, and you didn't hold back, calling it gamified risk-taking on steroids. That steroids part definitely suggests things have been kicked up a notch. What's changed, would you say?
The biggest change is just how easy it is to get in on the action and how it's become like woven into our daily lives. It's not just about going to a physical sports book anymore. Now you can like pull out your phone, tap a few buttons, and suddenly you've got money riding on a game happening halfway across the world. These apps are super user-friendly, almost like they're designed to keep you constantly betting. So it's that ease of access that really ramps up the risk factor.
You got it. It makes it way easier to get started, but it also makes it that much easier to make impulsive bets. In poker, you at least have a second to think about your hand, the other players, the odds. With in-game sports betting, those odds are constantly changing, which creates this feeling like you got to act N now W, and that leads to a lot of emotional decisions instead of calculated ones. And then there's the blurry line between just enjoying a game as a fan and being driven by the potential to win money on every single play. That shift in focus can be a real slippery slope.
Right, makes sense.
And now we come to the third pillar, the one you call the ultimate bluff economy, cryptocurrency. Sounds like you see this as the purest form of this whole high-stakes game. Why is that? Well, in a lot of ways, crypto operates without the usual anchors you see in traditional markets. Its value can swing wild, I mean, really wildly based on what people are feeling, speculation, even, just what some influential person says on Twitter.
The technology behind it is super complex, and while there are definitely some potential long-term uses for it, right now, trading crypto feels a lot like just betting on a story, on the hype. I've talked about how potential regulation changes, like maybe something from someone like, say, Trump, could bring a flood of new money into crypto. But even if it becomes more mainstream, you're saying that fundamental risk is still there. Oh, absolutely.
Think about it like this. Imagine a poker game, and suddenly a bunch of new players with tons of cash sit down at the table. What do the experienced sharks see? Opportunity. Same thing with crypto. More money coming in might drive prices up, but that doesn't make the underlying volatility go away. It's still going to be a roller coaster. So you'll probably keep seeing this dynamic between the people who get the inherent risks and the newbies who are learning the hard way and often losing a lot of money in the process. It's the perfect example of a bluff, with a value everyone sees can disappear in an instant.
So we've got these three different but connected areas, those day trading frenzies, the easy access world of sports betting, and the wild west of crypto. When you step back and look at them all together, what's that common psychological thread that ties them into this bro economy casino you're describing? It all boils down to creating these super engaging digital spaces that tap right into that primal human desire for risk and reward. The big promise, the thing that really draws people in, is this idea that you can make one lucky trade, win one big bet, find that one viral coin, and boom, your life changes forever. It's like that lottery ticket mentality, right?
Exactly. But just like in any casino or in any poker game where some players have more experience or just an advantage built into the system, well, the system usually wins in the end. All that constant trading, the fees, the fact that prices can change so dramatically, those things tend to work against the average person who's chasing that quick fortune. The odds aren't always in their favor. And that brings us back to the poker analogy in a really important way.
You keep stressing knowing when to go all in, but even more importantly, having the discipline to walk away from the table when things aren't going your way.
Exactly. Whether it's poker or these high-stakes financial games, the key to staying in the game is understanding the odds, managing your money well, and not letting your emotions control your decisions. And that's where things get interesting, because that approach is totally different from the fast-paced, action-first mentality you see so much in the bro economy. There, the focus is on those quick wins, on not missing out, on always being in on the next big thing. So let's flip the script a bit. Now that we've painted a picture of this landscape, I'm curious about something. How would someone with a poker player's mindset, someone like you, look at and maybe even strategize against the people caught up in this bro economy dynamic? What are some of the key things you've noticed, Ed? Here's the big thing.
The people who are drawn to the bro economy, they're usually comfortable taking risks and they act fast, but what they often lack is discipline and that long-term strategic thinking that's essential for winning at poker, or really for succeeding at anything that involves risk over the long haul. So they jump in head first, but maybe they're not so good at knowing when to fold a losing hand, to use that poker term. That's the perfect way to put it. They're chasing every pump and dump, every crazy parlay, every supposed moonshot. The idea of cutting their losses, of admitting they were wrong and moving on, it's like a foreign concept to them. You look back at that GameStop thing again, for a lot of the people involved, it wasn't about making a smart investment. It was about being part of something, feeling like they were in on a movement, no matter what happened to their money in the long run. They were playing for the story, not for any real strategic advantage. It felt almost like a form of entertainment, like everyone was chasing this collective adrenaline rush. You nailed it.
And it's all fueled by those instant feedback loops that are used to stock tickers that update every second, real-time odds in sports betting. The slower, more deliberate pace of strategic poker, where patience and well-timed moves are key, that feels totally foreign to them. And I bet the way these platforms and apps are designed just makes that short-term focus even worse, right? You've talked about how they're often gamified, making it feel less like serious financial decisions and more like just playing a game. Absolutely. That gamification can really mess with people's perception of risk and lead to more impulsive behavior. You've got bright colors, those little animations when you win, and it all creates this feeling of playfulness that hides the real financial consequences. They might not be taking the time to really analyze the situation or understand the true odds. What about the crypto world? What are some specific weaknesses you see there from that poker player's perspective? The big one is how much people prioritize belief and hype over actual value.
Because the true worth of a lot of cryptocurrencies is still up for debate, their prices are often driven by social media trends, what influencers say, and just general buzz. That creates a herd mentality. People jump in because they see the price going up, not because they understand the tech or if it has any long-term potential. And that makes them super vulnerable to panic, selling basically the crypto version of tilting in poker whenever the market dips. It's so interesting how these two worlds, high-stakes finance and the strategic game of poker, both come down to basic human psychology. You're saying that those folks who think they're hotshots in the bro economy might get a reality check at a real poker table. There's this misconception out there for sure. Someone who made some quick money day trading or got lucky with some sports bets might think they're a natural-born shark, someone who just gets risk and reward. They might think those instincts will automatically make them a poker pro.
but anyone who's played serious poker knows that consistent success comes from discipline, being able to read other players, and having long-term strategy. The impatience and tendency to overplay their hands that you see in the bro economy, that's exactly what makes those people easy to exploit at the poker table. So the strategy, from your point of view, is to kind of let them think they're in control at first, maybe even lull them into a false sense of confidence. Yeah, that can be a really effective tactic. If you don't immediately challenge their aggressive plays and let them win a few small pots early on, a skilled poker player can learn a lot about how they play. And more importantly, you can boost their ego. That overconfidence can lead to some big mistakes later in the game. It's about playing the long game and waiting for them to get impatient and make a move. It's like using their own eagerness and lack of discipline against them.
Exactly. You're letting them essentially beat themselves with their own undisciplined approach. They're so focused on those instant wins while you're playing a more patient strategic game that's all about consistent profits over time.
So to sum it all up, our deep dive into your bluff economy concept, Ed, looking at it through the lens of poker, shows us that day trading, sports betting, and crypto or all these high-energy environments driven by speculation and this promise of getting rich quickly. And the people who are all in on this bro economy, they often have this mindset of wanting to act fast and see results immediately. And while that can sometimes work in the short term, it can also be a big weakness when it comes to things that require more strategy and patience, like, you know, playing serious poker or being a successful long-term investor. In the end, it seems like the key takeaway is that you need to really understand the nature of the game you're playing. And maybe even more importantly, you need to be aware of the tendencies and the weaknesses of the people you're playing with or against. Knowing when to hold them and when to fold them, it's not just a catchy song lyric. It's a fundamental principle that applies to so much more than just poker. This has been a really eye-opening look into the psychology behind these modern financial trends.
It really makes you think about what drives people to take risks, not just with their money, but in all areas of life. On that note, here's something to chew on as we wrap up. How do those principles of risk and reward, those dynamics of speculation we've been talking about in the bro economy, how do they show up in other parts of your life, in your own decision-making? Are there bluff economies at play outside of the financial world? Definitely something to think about long after our deep dive is over.